Ja, so Podcasts machen voll Bock, ey.
Hallo und willkommen zur 31. Folge von Open Court, dem Podcast des FC Bayern Basketball, powered by BayWa. Der FC Bayern startet am morgigen Freitag, dem 13. Mai, in die BBL Playoffs gegen die Chemnitz 99ers. Dann nicht auf dem Parkett Darren Hilliard und Corey Walden. Die beiden derzeit verletzten US-Amerikaner blicken voraus auf das Duell gegen Chemnitz, sprechen über ihren Leidensweg in der Saison, erzählen, wie sie die Playoff-Serie gegen den FC Barcelona erlebt haben, küren ihre wahren MVPs und vieles, vieles mehr. Viel Spaß. And today we welcome two of our players who unfortunately right now can't play. Darren Hilliard and Corey Walden. Guys, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Good, doing well.
Like I said, you guys are out of action right now, and maybe not everyone knows what happened to you, why you're not playing. Maybe Darren can start. Why are you on the shelf right now?
Well, it's been a crazy season, man. It's been full of ups and downs, but me personally, I had a MCL tear in the middle of the season. In practice, I tore my MCL, so I was out for about 3 months. Did rehab, recovered. Joined the team again, and in the playoffs, game one against Barcelona, I fractured my collarbone, and that basically just, you know, sums up my season. So, yeah, just a string of unfortunate events, and but we're here now, so it is what it is.
Did you ever get hurt in your career before that?
No,
twice in the season?
No, this is my first one. I mean, I've had like. Different checkups and things on body parts in the summertime, but it was never like an injury during the season where I had to sit out for a significant amount of time or miss a bunch of time away from the game of basketball. So this is really just a first for me in many ways, you know, with basketball and personal things as well. So.
How about you, Corey? I mean, you're out now, and how's your status right now?
My situation is a little bit different and strange. I'm dealing with a back injury, and while I was out with a back injury, I ended up getting COVID, and it's just been a really long process of trying to get strength back into the leg and just get back to a point where I'm able to, you know, play professionally and play a competitive game. Some days are good, some days are bad, but it's been a rocky road and really difficult because it's not like a pinpoint injury, like, okay, you're out, yeah, you know, X amount of time. It's more based off of feel and, you know, how I can react on the court. So sometimes I'm on the court for a couple of days and then off for a couple of days, or on for a week or off for a week. And it's just been this constant back and forth battle with trying to, you know, just trying to figure out what's going on or how, or the best way to attack the injury and the best way to rehab it. So that's been going on since the beginning of March, and we made big steps, big progress with it, but it's still not there. Hopefully, you know, one of these days I just wake up and it's just all better. But it's been a long battle.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that it must be scary. Like, just like you said, I mean, if you turn your ankle, you know, that's 3 weeks and then I'm back on the court. But If you don't really have a timeline to come back, I mean, it must be scary for you and your family, right?
Yeah, it was very strange and unsettling, just because, like, no one really knew what exactly was the issue. But then we got to the bottom of it with COVID and said that was a big problem. That was one of the main reasons.
How do you guys cope with injuries, you know, as a whole, Darren? I mean, are you a guy like, oh, I've got to watch basketball all the time, I'm going to watch my team all the time, or are you the kind of player that's like, man, I'm going to be at the gym, I've watched us play, but it hurts so much that I can't really stand it at all?
That's a great question. I mean, I think for me, it's like, it's an everyday change. You know, some days I want to stay in the gym all day, some days I want to watch practice. Some days I don't want nobody to talk to me, you know. So it's like, it's just an everyday battle, man. Because, you know, you gotta understand, we've been doing this for a long time, and it's just part of our norm, and it's who we are, you know. And it's something that we look forward to each and every day, to go out there and battle and compete, and, you know, we take pride in the competition, you know, in the finer things of basketball, you know. And when you take that away, it's tough, You know, I know Corey welcomed a baby boy and I welcomed a baby girl. So that kind of filled that void a little bit. But still, it's still hard. You know, you could be in the house all day with your kids, but you're still going to miss the game. And I know my son is tired of watching basketball all day. So, but it's not as bad as you think. You know, it could definitely be worse. And take it for what it is, like I said. And, you know, you get stronger from it.
Do you find ways to compensate for this loss of this lack of competition?
Yeah, definitely. It's a... It's more of like a. I just watch basketball all day, man. I just love the game. You know, I just love how it goes, and I watch all different types of leagues, NBA, EuroCup, EuroLeague. You know, so I'm just a fan of the sport. You know, and so I think that's the biggest way I cope. That and my family as well. So.
I see you're nodding there the whole time, Corey. Is it the same with you? Yeah. Are you watching basketball all day?
I understand what he's saying. I'm probably a little bit different, but a lot of things he says, like, you know, one day you may want to watch practice, the next day you don't even want to drive by the gym, like, just because it hurts you so much. But in my situation, like I said, me and my wife welcomed the baby boy. So in that time, I was able to be around my son a lot where normally I wouldn't. So I really enjoyed that. I guess that's the positive in being injured, but the bad thing is, of course, being away from the game. And just coping with it is, you know, watching basketball, sometimes not watching basketball, doing something completely different to take your mind off of it. Because sometimes I get, you know, so involved in wanting to play so bad that, you know, it hurts. So, you know, you just try to find that happy balance between watching or being involved and watching and not watching and, you know, taking your mind off of it.
Well, both of you guys who went to Game 5 in Barcelona, Corey, did it hurt sitting there and just watching the guys play?
Yes. Watching from the side. I mean, I'm on the side sweating. Sweating, just watching the game and just wanting to be a part. It helped so bad.
How about you, Darren? I can't imagine, Darren, you with your collarbone. I mean, does it hurt when you jump up and down? Did it hurt while you were, like watching the game and getting emotional?
People got it confused a little bit that it's not that... I mean, when you first break collarbone, it's definitely painful. Don't get me wrong about that. But like once they did the surgery and once everything kind of healed up about a day or two after, it was fine. Like, you know, if you ask me, I can go out there and hoop. But, you know, we got to take precautions. But, yeah, it was tough, man. It was tough because, you know, just as a hooper, just that scenario, that setting, I just think that it was just a perfect script. You know, you on the road, it's game 5. Winner goes to the Final Four. It's just a perfect setup. You know what I mean? Just at least for me, just being a part of that game, win or lose, it was gonna be fun. You know, so it's just tough because you weren't able to go in there with that mindset and give the guys that mindset. You know, it's just being appreciative of the moment and taking it from there. But it's all good.
I think it's always fascinating in these series like this, if it's the NBA or EuroLeague, it doesn't really matter. You know, I think for a team, just like you guys, you come in there, you're the total underdog, and everybody thinks Barca is going to just walk through the FC Bayern and it's going to be done with in 3 games. And then you guys come in and you're competitive, you win your games. Darren, how did the communication maybe between you as teammates change? Did you go from, we see what happens, and then you go like, oh man, we can beat these guys. I mean, did anything change team-wise during these 5 games?
Me?
For the whole team and the way you were talking.
It was leading up to the playoffs, we felt that we matched up well with Barca to begin with, you know, position by position. Obviously, we thought that we were going to be healthy, you know. But, yeah, we felt that we matched up well against them. You know, we knew their stuff. We knew their coach. We knew how they wanted to play the game and their tempo and, you know, we just felt like we matched up well against that team. And I don't even want to say that we thought that... Obviously, we heard the noise of us being underdogs, but I don't want to say that we really felt that we were underdogs. I mean, at least I didn't. I thought that they respected us more than anything. You know, I'm talking about Barca. They knew what we were capable of, and they knew how good of a team we were when fully healthy. And so it's just unfortunate. You know, it's just unfortunate that we couldn't battle it out. both teams being 100%, you know, because they had guys injured as well. So, yeah, but going back to your question, I didn't think that we felt that we were underdogs to begin with. And we used that mentality and took it from there.
Corey, I talked to Coach prior to the series. Or we talked to him, and he said, like, well, we got to play our best. And even if we do, we might lose because they are so much better. And I felt like, yeah, I mean, that's what he's telling us, you know, from the media or whatever. But he's not telling that to his team. What did he tell you before the series started?
Well, I actually wasn't around it. I wasn't around the team that much you know, during the series. But just from the outside looking in, similar to what Darren said, I think me watching after game one, and game one I believe we lost, I was like, you know what, we have a real shot. Like, maybe people see us as an underdog, but I think we have a real shot because we do match up well. And when we play defense, you know, it's really, really good defense. It's hard to score on us. And after game two, I really felt like the pressure shifted to them. So we were able to just play more free and be more aggressive offensively and defensively. And I really thought we had a real shot. And, you know, like I said, everyone saw us as an underdog, but I thought we were, like, we had a real chance.
Both of you guys have played now for a couple of seasons in the EuroLeague. Darren, you played in the NBA, obviously, a couple of years as well. Is it really so... I don't know what the right word is. So impressive for you guys as Americans to come over and see what's happening in the EuroLeague. I mean, you must have seen Kevin Durant being at the Olympiacos game the other day and was just totally baffled, you know, that they were like pyros in the gym or whatever. What was the first impression you got from playing in the EuroLeague?
It's loud. It's really loud. You know, I just remember telling my, well, she was my... girlfriend at the time, but my wife now, that it was just, the games were just much louder than the NBA game. That was my first impression. But then going throughout my first season, I was with Baskonia, it was just tough, you know. It was taxing because, you know, people take for granted those domestic league games as well. You know, that's a tough task to do on a weekly basis, you know. So you got the EuroLeague games and also the ACB or the Bundesliga, you know, whichever country you're in. But yeah, the EuroLeague is definitely growing, man, and I'm just thankful that I'm a part of it, that it's reaching new heights from when I first got into the EuroLeague 4 years ago. It's become more known, and I think that has a lot to do with social media, and it's just great for the brand of EuroLeague, you know. And I know a lot of players are happy that it's growing and it's making that next step to, you know, everybody being, I guess, as comfortable as possible. So,
Corey, were you surprised when you first came over to Europe about the level of competition, or was it about the level you expected to find?
It was about the level I expected. I think when I first got to Europe, it was just making that adjustment to, you know, different rules and different space and different tactics. I think that was the biggest thing to adjust to, but as far as the EuroLeague, I mean, last year was my first year, and last year was a COVID year with no fans. So, you know, that's a special situation or a different situation. But, you know, previously before that, I mean, I've always kind of been a part of teams who've had pretty good fan bases. So, you know, Cologne and Israel and, you know, Partizan Zvezda, you know, they always have, you know, pretty good fan bases. So whenever this year came and we're able to play in front of fans, you know, I was pretty adjusted to it. So, It wasn't a big shock to me.
Darren touched on the fact that you guys are basically playing two seasons rolled into one. Is it a challenge for you, you know, to play in the EuroLeague during the week, and then on the weekends you play in the domestic league? You know, on one hand there's these known players you guys know as these great clubs, and then maybe you play against Kreilsheim, which you know, nobody knows anything about, basically. Is it tough for you to get up for these games?
I mean, you're always amped to play a game, but it's just taxing, you know, game after game, and then I travel, you know, going into that. And then you maybe you go against a team that plays in the BBL that hasn't played a game in a week. So, you know, they've had a chance to scout you for an entire week, or, you know, they're just really refreshed and have the legs to, you know, to come out and play extra hard, where maybe we just finished a double week in EuroLeague. So on the road. So that's the challenge that playing in domestic league brings.
There is the stress of travel in playing EuroLeague and domestic league comparable to what you guys face in the NBA with all the travel and the schedule you have there?
That's tough, man, because I think that the NBA has a lot more resources, you know, to make the travel a little bit more easier on guys. So I just think that's the biggest difference. You know, you got guys flying privately and, you know, not even stepping foot in the airport type of thing. They're just, you know, getting on the plane, landing, getting back on the bus type of thing. And I don't think that is, for some clubs it might be like that in Europe, but for a lot of clubs it's not. So it is harder, you know, because you got to go through security and, you know, you're flying like a regular person basically, and you're out here playing all these games and you know, got to deal with all this other stuff. But, you know, it is hard. It is difficult because of, like Corey said, teams are just kind of waiting on you, and you got to, you know, fly from Athens to East Germany or something like that. And, you know, it's not easy. But, you know, we get paid a pretty decent penny to do what we do, so nobody's complaining.
Comes with the territory.
Definitely.
That's what the money is for, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it gives you a lot to look past.
When it was time for you to come to Europe, obviously you played 3 years, I think, in the NBA there. And was it a tough decision to leave the States behind and to go to Europe, or was it just the logical next step in your career?
Yeah, it was hard. It was tough because I think that, you know, the way, I don't even know if I want to call it the system, but the way it's kind of set up for you is just the NBA is the end-all, be-all type of thing growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to get to the league, you want to, you know, provide for your family, and you want to, you know, they paint this picture for you once you get to the NBA and how it's supposed to be. And it's not necessarily like that, man. You know, you go through certain times where you're not playing, and, you know, it can be tough in the NBA. You know, it's not easy. So the transition for me was just about the role. You know, when I say the role, it's just about being able to develop my game, being able to just fall back in love with the game and enjoy getting better each and every day. And so that was my mindset going into it. And if the NBA couldn't really provide that for me, then I was willing to go to the next highest level. And, you know, Europe, just EuroLeague was there. And I'm fortunate it was EuroLeague. And so I've been here for, I guess, 3.5 years, just getting better each and every day. And, you know, I'm happy with the decision I made.
Was it about the same for you, Corey?
I was a little bit different. You know, Darren played more games and was in the NBA longer. I did the G League, and in the G League, it just kind of taught me how to, again, just get better every day and embracing the grind. So whenever I came to Europe, it wasn't that tough of a decision, but I knew I wanted to play in the top competition in Europe. So I just knew I would have to go through the steps and go through the process to get to that point. And years later, I was able to, I'm able to be here and, you know, try to make a name for myself.
I think it's one thing that's pretty funny about basketball in Europe and the States. I think in the States, people don't really know how good the EuroLeague is. Yeah. And in Europe, people think, oh, the G League, that's just some guys running around. Everybody's doing his own thing and shooting. Yeah, okay. I see you guys. Darren, you have something to say.
Okay. They can go there and have that mindset if they want to. Somebody give them 40 quick. and not even think about it. You know, so it's, you got to respect each and every league, man. I'm not even talking about the G League. I'm talking about just even some low-level European teams are good. Players are good. So you just got to respect the game, respect the players. You know, you can't overthink. You can't overlook anybody because, you know, people put the work in just like the next man. So,
Steve, was it tough for you guys to do, in Corey's case, leave the G League? Because this, obviously, for Americans, this is the step, you know, up. This is the development league. And did you feel when you left for Europe that you were kind of leaving this NBA dream behind, or are you still holding out hope?
I don't look at it like that. I just look at what's in front of me and what the task at hand. I don't look at, you know, leaving a dream behind or anything like that. So just keep it short like that.
That's a good way to keep it. You knew Coach before you came to Bayern. Was he the main reason to go to FC Bayern and play here?
Yes, he was. Yes.
Why? I mean, because he is a very taxing individual, I would say.
He is, but you know, with all that, he knows how to bring the best out, you know, in me. And a lot of times, it's very annoying, and you know, I like to fight with him. So it's kind of like that love hate thing there. But he finds a way to always bring out the best, and you know, he knows the right buttons to push, and he just finds a way to, you know, bring the best out of me.
What kind of things are you fighting over?
It could be anything. Sometimes I just do it on purpose. I just like to be annoying.
You do?
Just do it. Be annoying to him. But you know, he's a good coach, and he's a good guy, and you know, I really appreciate him.
Is it something you had to learn as a player to embrace a coach that's really, you know, pushing you, or is it something that you had all the time?
I've always had, you know, kind of tough coaches, but he was a little bit different because he's really big on the details. And that's, you know, something some players kind of skip over. But at first, when I first joined or was on the team with him, the first couple months were very hard. And there was some resistance, and we really, really fought a lot. But, you know, eventually I just kind of gave into it and really just listened to the message and not how he was delivering the message. And that ended up working out for me.
Darren, you played for some coaching royalty, I would say. I mean, there was Jay Wright, Stan Van Gundy, obviously my man crush, Greg Popovich, for a couple of months. How does a coach compare to these guys?
As far as his mental aspect, man, I think he's right up there with the best of them.
You know, yeah.
He's so tactical, and I mean, his track record speaks for itself. You know, he's borderline genius, if you ask me, on the basketball court. You know, he definitely knows his stuff, and he's always prepared. So, from that aspect, he's great. You know, but you know, he's like a mad scientist. You know, he's just very passionate of the game, though, man. And that's what I really appreciate. You know, he really loves basketball, and I think that's how me and him can relate the most. He just loves the game, and I love the game so much. And I think that's where we kind of clicked. You know, obviously we talked about the basketball situation and how it would be this year and all that, but I just knew from the first conversation that he just loved the game of basketball, and from looking from afar as well, he just appreciated the game just as much as I do, and you know, I can respect that.
Who fights more with Coach, Corey or you?
It depends. I mean, Corey's been with him a little longer. I just get quiet on him, man. Like, I'm not really the type. I'm not gonna go back and forth with you, dog. You got it. I'm gonna just be quiet and, you know, do my job. So, but that might change. You know, that changes. Sometimes I go back at him, or sometimes we gotta have a meeting in the office or something like that, and you know, we go from there. But you know, Coach is a great guy, man. That's one thing too. He's just a great, great, great person, and I respect the hell out of him for sure.
Maybe we can look ahead at this time. To the playoffs. I mean, you guys are not playing, unfortunately, the way it looks right now, Darren, but you go up against Chemnitz. And that's a team, well, you are obviously the favorites, but Chemnitz beat Bayern twice this season. I don't know, did you watch both of the games you played against Chemnitz?
Yeah.
What's your impression?
I was a part of the first one when we lost at Chemnitz. That was a tough one. The gym is legit for sure, because their fans are very passionate, and you know, they're very in tune to each second of the game. And so they're a good team, though, you know, and they're probably very confident, even though they're probably the underdog. I'm sure they're confident knowing that they've beaten us three times already, and so
same thing Cup as well, yeah.
Exactly. So it's definitely going to be an uphill battle, but I think the guys are prepared, and most importantly, I think that they're ready to kind of get this thing going.
Why did you lose three times, Corey?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Yeah, I've played against them three times and have not been successful three times. But again, it's the playoffs. Mindset changes, and I think that we'll be ready, even though they may, I guess, statistically the underdog. I think that they're going to give a good fight. They're going to be ready. You know, we're going to be ready also, but I feel like we'll be able to get them in the series.
I think a lot of fans can't really comprehend how the game changes from regular season to the playoffs, Corey. How would you describe what does change on the court? What does change off the court for a team or for a player when the playoffs start?
Everything on the outside doesn't matter. You just lock in for, you know, the series that's at hand. And on the court, teams know everyone's everything, the playbook, the tactics, all the details. Everyone knows everything. So every crucial moment, every crucial point, every everything becomes, you know, that much harder to gain and that much, trying to gain the edge on the team is that much harder to do. So it just means that much more because, you know, there's something more at stake.
Do you see it the same way, Darren?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a lot more at stake. I think it also goes into I feel like it's more individual too once the playoffs hit, because like Corey said, everybody knows your tactics, everybody knows what you're going to do, everybody knows how you play because they've played you twice, three times throughout the season. So they know, they just know who you are as a team. They know your identity. So I think once that kind of evens out, it goes into the individuals. Can you get a stop? Can you beat your man? Can you, you know, be smarter than your guy? I think it comes down to your individual matchup. Excuse me. When your individual matchups more consistently, I think that's more during the playoffs as well.
And I guess guard play becomes very important. And Bayern now is two guards short because yeah. You guys are sitting here and instead of practicing because you're hurt. Do you feel that this could be a problem going forward, Darren?
No, I wouldn't really say it's a problem. I think you're right about guards. You know, guards do definitely win games, if you ask me. I think we're solid in that area, though. You know, we got some guys who have stepped up and made big plays in big games, and you know, this shouldn't be no different. I think that they're ready, and I think it'll be a positive outcome for Bayern Munich.
You already said, Corey, that obviously you lock in during the playoffs. The outside world doesn't matter. But you guys, you welcomed, you already talked about it, two little kids into the world, I think in December, like a week apart or so. How tough was it for you, Corey, to lock in into basketball? Because I remember when our daughter was born 5 years ago, that was all that mattered to me. And it was really tough to focus on work or anything outside this little being just laying there and obviously needing a lot of help. Yeah. So how did you manage to juggle all this stuff?
Oh, it was rough. It was rough for me because, you know, that's my first child. And so, you know, everything, like my routine, everything that I've done, you know, years before that completely changed, you know, the day he was born. So I had to figure out a new routine, a new way to, you know, to get myself up for the game and just to get myself energy because he wasn't sleeping well, of course, you know, that's normal. And I'm not sleeping well and up at all types of time in the morning. And the adjustment was tough, but after a couple of weeks, I was able to get a nice routine down and I was able to make it work.
Maybe the best tip that I got was you got to sleep when the child is sleeping, which totally messed up my routine. But yeah. Darren, how did you cope?
Well, yeah, it is tough because, like Corey said, you got to change your whole life basically. You know, you got to change your habits and you know, figure out what's best for this little child here. But this was our second child, baby girl. And honestly, man, she's been a sweetheart. Like, she's been awesome. I mean, I don't really like talk about it too much because I know how boys can get. I got a boy as well, and I know how boys are. They're a little bit kind of tougher in the beginning. But, you know, my daughter, man, she's an angel. You know, she sleeps well, and, you know, she's – I really can't even say it was a big adjustment for me because, you know, my wife did an amazing job, first of all. And, you know, my daughter, she does kind of well. Throughout the night, so it's kind of easy when you got two because you can still, you know, play man to man. You know, your wife can take care of the daughter and I can take care of the boy. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit easier. So I just got to give all credit to my wife, man, because it really wasn't that much of a change for me during the season when I was playing.
I mean, same here. I mean, let's just face it, wives are, as far as superhero. Kids are concerned, are the Wonder real Wonder MVPs. Right there, real Wonder Woman. But I'll tell you something, and our girl is five now, and this sweet little thing that you remember, or that you have right now, man, that's going to change.
Yeah,
that's
going to
change real quick.
I know fast, for sure. for sure. I'm excited, though, man. I really am.
How old is your boy?
My son, he turns three today.
That's crazy. Three today? Yeah. Oh, it's a birthday party. Birthday yes.
Three, and my daughter is what, 5 months? I want to say.
That's okay.
Born December 14th. So yeah.
So is the little one already into basketball at all, or is it just
He just want to have fun, man. You know, he wants to dribble at one point, then he wants to kick a soccer ball at the next point. You know, so you know how they are at that point. So he loves everything. He just wants to run around with dad and have fun. So,
Corey, is it tough for you to have this family in a foreign country, or is it something that you're totally cool with because you've been living in Europe for a couple of years now?
It's something I'm comfortable with. Of course, the other part of the family is something that you miss. But as far as having my core family and, you know, me and my wife and my child, you know, as long as I have all of them, you know, I'm fine.
It's the same with you, Darren, or is it tough, you know, being on the road all the time? Obviously, you have two kids now. And leaving it all behind, like for days at a time.
Yeah, that's probably been the hardest thing, I'd say. Since my daughter has been born, going on the road for periods of time, that's really been tough. Because obviously I miss them and I want to be around them, but you know, you leaving wifey back home with two kids, it's not an easy thing to do. I know I struggle with a couple hours. You know, she's there a few days with them. You know, so that was my biggest thing, just not being there to help my wife as much as I wanted to be. Yeah, it is difficult though, man. But like we all said, it's the wives. They hold it down, and it wouldn't be anything without them. So,
and let's face it. I mean, as fathers, the first couple of months or even maybe a year or two, we're pretty useless anyway. Yeah, you know, they all want mama all the time. Yeah, yeah, so exactly. It doesn't really matter if we're there or not. Let's just look ahead maybe to the EuroLeague Final Four, Corey. Are these the four teams that you expected to be there?
Yeah, for the most part, I would say so, yeah. I would say these four teams, yeah.
Same with you, Darren, or did you any surprises there?
Nah, I thought that Monaco was going to be Olympiacos, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I thought they could have did it, and I also thought that we was going to be Barcelona. So. Yeah. But the other two, I definitely thought they would be there,
for sure. So if you had to bet money on it, who's going to win the EuroLeague title this year?
I say Efes.
I got Efes, yeah.
Efes, all right. Yeah, Efes. My man T-Bar is on the Efes. All right,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Efes, they got them, yeah, for sure. And the coach is confident, so it goes a long way. Yeah. He knows what he's doing, for sure.
Yeah, he does. So I think we have to talk a little bit about the BBL playoffs again. Obviously, you guys are the favorites. Is this, like, the one goal that defines your season, Darren, that you guys are going to win the BBL championship?
I want to say it defines our season, because, you know, just the things that we've been through alone throughout the season defines it on its own. You know, we've been through a lot of ups and downs, man. COVID to injuries to personal issues, things like that. So I think that no trophy could ever, you know, take that, fill that void. But it would be a successful season, I would say. You know, obviously we didn't win the cup. We didn't go to the Final Four, so I guess you would say this is our last shot to kind of make it a successful season, for sure. Yeah.
Do you see it the same way, Corey?
Yeah. This would be our last chance to, you know, get a trophy up in the air, and, you know, we haven't been able to do that with other competitions and, you know, missing out on the cup and stuff. But I think this will really, you know, tie up the end of the season and bring this season to an end.
This might be a strange question, but, you know, when you say bring a season to an end, I mean, I played a little bit back in my day, and I always kind of dreaded these last weeks of a season, especially what Darren touched on. When you have a team where, you know, you experience a lot of stuff together. It's not only sports, it's personal stuff, and you kind of, you grow together. It's just like a family, actually, sometimes. But then you see the season ending, and, you know, being a professional, you know, this team is not going to be the same next year. It's just right. The way the business goes. So, Darren, are you looking forward to the end of the season? Are you dreading the end of the season because you know this journey is going to end? How do you feel about this?
That's a great question. It's a mix, man. It's like a... Obviously, you got to fight the temptation to want to go home. That's first. You know, I think a lot of foreigners think about, you know, being home and enjoying their summer. So fighting that temptation is hard enough. But yeah, I think that going back is definitely tough because, you know, you appreciate everybody's everybody's input and their journey throughout this year. And so it is kind of saddening, I guess, but you know you're gonna see those guys again, and you will always remember what you guys went through at that specific point in time. So
it's the same for you, Corey?
Same, yeah, but I feel like in this last month, you know, the journey that we've been through the last, I guess, 9 months, everything, the ups and downs is what, and the friendships and, you know, the connection that you've built through with everyone in the locker room during the playoffs, it's the one time you get to come together and use that connection to, you know, to try to get a trophy. And I feel like that's, to win it, especially when you do win, that's a really special moment when you can celebrate with you guys.
Yeah, it's just too bad that you guys can't play. I mean, it's just so unfortunate. Yeah. At the end, we always have this quick fire question round from Baywa, the sponsor, obviously. And the first one is for both of you guys. Maybe Corey can start. What's your favorite place in Munich?
Favorite place in Munich?
Don't say the gym. Nobody's going to believe that.
I really like, is it the English Garden?
Oh, yeah.
I really like that. I really like the English Garden.
All right. For you, Darren?
Oh, that's a tough one. I like Olympic Park, I guess.
Olympic Park, yeah, okay.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, Olympic Park is kind of cool.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, a lot of history there, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we have a question for Corey. Who screams louder at you, I guess? Coach Trinkieri or your son?
I say that's a tie right now. Yeah, especially little man is figuring out his voice, so he sees me, he goes crazy. But Coach sees me and goes crazy too.
So. Yeah, it's a different kind of crazy. Yes. So the last one is for Darren. Who is cooler? I guess. Well, it says right. Who is cooler, Will D. Cat or Bernie the Bear?
Oh, that's tough. Bernie began acting, bro. He be over there going crazy, skateboard on the court and everything. That's tough. I would have to go with Bernie. I ain't gonna lie. Bernie be getting it in because Will, he kind of, he's just over there clapping and, you know, just raw run. Bernie be over there shooting half court shots. He don't make none of them though, but he do it all. So I'm probably go with Bernie for sure, man. Definitely.
All right, so I guess we're going to send this in to Villanova to see that they will get some new skills there.
Yeah, for sure.
This resume. Guys, it was great. Thank you for your time, and best of luck. You know, get better soon. We hope to see you on the court as soon as possible. And yeah, if you don't speak, have a great summer.
Definitely. You too, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Das war sie, die 15. Folge der zweiten Staffel von Open Court powered by Baywa. Wir hoffen, dass euch dieser Podcast gefallen hat und lasst uns doch gerne eine Rezension da. Zum Beispiel auf Apple Music oder Spotify. Empfehlt den Podcast gerne weiter und falls ihr euch ein bestimmtes Thema oder Gesprächspartner wünscht, schickt uns eure Anregung an opencourt@fcbayern.com. Vielen Dank für eure Zeit und bis zum nächsten Mal.